KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have clear skies. There's some fog in the lower-lying areas. And we look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 62, currently 31 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, the Facilities Committee of the Griswold Community School District met with the Griswold School Board Monday night, and Griswold Superintendent Dave Hendricks told KJAN News on Thursday that the committee wanted some guidance or direction from the board with regard to moving forward on their options.
They feel, in general terms, that they have enough information and have used the information at hand to formalize a recommendation of one of those three options, which were to either consolidate all operations into one facility at Griswold. Two would be to eliminate one of the two elementaries, either Lewis or Elliott. Or three would be reconfigure our current operations and shift some kids around.
Hendricks said part of the original charge from the school board was to have the committee analyze the savings as well as any additional costs incurred by the district. Without having firm numbers, though, the committee can't accomplish the second part of their job. They asked the board if the committee should try and put those numbers together, or would it be better to hire a firm to crunch the numbers.
The board said, let's take a step back here for a second and see what we can do about looking into getting someone to do those figures. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The committee's going to continue to meet. Their next meeting is the 24th, and in the meantime, the board and myself and the district as a whole are going to start looking into options in terms of putting requests for proposals together to get some bids to do those design and plan cost estimates for the district.
The facilities committee will continue to meet. In fact, their next session is on Monday, October 24th. One person was injured during a single vehicle rollover accident early this morning in Fremont County. The sheriff's office reports the crash happened at around 12:40 a.m. on the 1900 block of Highway 2, just west of the Interstate 29 interchange. Authorities say a 2009 Chevy Trailblazer driven by 20-year-old Jacob Kane of Sydney was traveling east on Highway 2 when the SUV went out of control and entered the median before rolling several times, coming to rest on its top, partially in the roadway. Kane was transported to Grape Community Hospital in Hamburg for treatment of minor injuries. Authorities say seatbelts were not in use and alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash. Percival Fire and Rescue and Sydney Fire and Rescue assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office with the call. The vehicle was a total loss. Just after midnight Thursday, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office received a report of debris in the roadway in the area of the 12-mile marker north of Interstate 29. When deputies arrived, they discovered a single vehicle rollover accident in the area. The driver of a 2009 Dodge Avenger, 22-year-old Ulysses Cesato of Fremont, Nebraska, was driving southbound on I-29 when he lost control of the vehicle and entered the median. The vehicle struck a bridge barricade and became airborne, entering the northbound lane and rolling several times, coming to rest in the east ditch of the northbound lane. Cesato was wearing his seatbelt. He refused medical treatment and was placed under arrest for failure to maintain control and OWI first offense. He was later released on $1,000 bond. Percival Fire and Rescue assisted the Fremont County Sheriff's Office with the call. Alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash, and the vehicle was a total loss. And Tuesday morning, deputies of the Fremont County Sheriff's Department received a call of a vehicle in a ditch near the intersection of Highway 59 and 270th Street in Fremont County. A 2007 Lincoln Town Car, driven by 86-year-old Howard Carlisle of Tarkio, Missouri, was traveling southbound on Highway 59 when he attempted to pass a semi operated by 50-year-old Scott Blazer of Mound City, Missouri. Blazer was also attempting to pass a slow-moving vehicle when he swerved to avoid a vehicle entering the roadway from 270th. Blazer's semi-trailer struck Carlisle's vehicle, causing the town car to leave the road and enter the field southeast of the intersection. Blazer continued southbound. He told deputies he did not know that he struck the vehicle until a later time. Carlisle was transported to the Shenandoah Medical Center for treatment of minor injuries. The town car was a total loss, and charges are currently pending. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department reports 33-year-old Curtis Yelton of Council Bluffs was arrested early Thursday morning in Carson after a deputy investigated a property damage accident. The deputy was informed a person living at the home at 210 Washington Street in Carson was wanted on a warrant for violation of the sex offender registry. Yelton claimed he didn't know that there was a warrant for his arrest. He was taken into custody and booked into the Pott County Jail. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer said Wednesday that his office will be having a canine fundraiser on November the 5th from 5 until 8 p.m. at the community building in Coyne. They'll be serving fried chicken strips and fish along with coleslaw, baked beans, fries, tea, and water. A silent auction of items that have been donated for the event will also be held, with bidding taking place. The Coyne firemen have generously donated their frying expertise to help with the fundraiser. Palmer says that if you're unable to attend for some reason and wish to donate to their canine program, they are taking cash donations at the Page County Sheriff's Office in Clarinda. They can be mailed or brought in. The address is 323 North 15th Street, zip 51632. And again, all the proceeds and donations will go toward the Page County Sheriff's Office canine program they're just beginning to implement. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, ice cream maker Wells Enterprises plans a $40.5 million expansion that will create 81 jobs in Lamar's. State documents released Thursday shows Wells is seeking about $3 million in state tax incentives to help finance their expansion. The plans include a 6,000-square-foot addition to the company's south plant and the addition of new production lines. The city of Lamar's would provide nearly $400,000 in property tax abatement for the project. Wells is known as the maker of Blue Bunny ice cream and frozen novelties. The family-owned company employs more than 2,000 workers. The Iowa Economic Development Authority Board will consider application for tax breaks at a meeting today in Des Moines. A handful of forums featuring Iowa candidates seeking federal office are being held this month, but there will be no debate in Iowa's 4th Congressional District.
You can probably rest pretty easy that we'll get to November 8th without one.
That's Republican Congressman Steve King of Chiron, who's on the 2016 ballot, seeking an 8th term in the U.S. House of Representatives, which represents the northwest and north-central parts of Iowa. King did debate his Democratic opponents in 2012 and 2014, but not this year.
What would be the purpose of having that kind of a face-to-face discussion? People know what I'm for. I'm for the repeal of Obamacare. I'm for a strong ag policy, and I've been pro-trade for every year that I've been in Congress. Pro-free enterprise, of course, for a strong national defense, pro-life, pro-marriage, pro-constitution, pro-strict constructionist on the courts.
And Kim Weaver of Sheldon is a Democrat challenging King in 2016. Weaver says a lack of debates is a problem because she'd like to challenge some of King's votes.
Most people are familiar with the offensive things he says. Some people are aware of the fact that InsideGov has ranked him the least effective member of Congress. What they don't know is that we're happy that he's ineffective, because the votes that he has cast would hurt our state.
Weaver cites King's support for privatizing Social Security and his vote to convert Medicare into a voucher program so seniors would buy insurance for themselves in the open market. She says King's opposition to immigration reform has been a boost to her candidacy.
People, you know, real people, aren't as polarized as the politicians, and they're trying to use this, I believe, as a sensationalistic scare tactic. You know, the big bad people are coming to get us, when I don't think it's true.
Weaver made her comments during a recent appearance on Iowa Public Television. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.